Welcome to the Cornerstone Ministries Sermon Podcast. Each week, you'll hear powerful messages from our weekend services, plus midweek bonus content to help you grow deeper in your walk with Christ. Wherever you are, we want you to know God deeply, find freedom, and be empowered to make a difference for God's glory. To learn more about our church family or to connect with us, visit lifewithcornerstone.com.
Well, hey, church, welcome to After the Amen, where each week we dig into kind of content we didn't get to in the sermon so we can better live out the Word of God every day in between the weekend services after the Amen. And, you know, Pastor Paul, you know, the last few weeks we've been longing for more time. So yeah. I just want to jump right in because you started with a story this weekend that I resonated with because I've been doing some running recently and I couldn't help but sit and laugh. And
was that you the other day when it was a little rainy? And don't worry, I'm not going to make fun of you. I actually looked out my window the way my thing is set up, and I could see, but it's a little hazy with the tent. And somebody had like a little, poncho
a little
on.
Blue. It was a running jacket, was not a poncho.
So it was you.
Yes, it was.
It was a little rain running through the parking lot. Okay. Proud of you, man.
But you just said the other day, you walk through our parking lot.
I do.
But you also
I said I'm not making fun of you. I saw it. I was like, is that Brandon in the rain? That's dedicated, dude.
You've teased my sneakers in the past. I'm very tempted to make fun of these. But they're fitting with your half marathon story.
It was not on purpose. I was walking this morning and forgot my work shoes.
So we
have my walking shoes on.
Did you do the half marathon in these sneakers?
No, that was... that was like 8 or 9 years ago. It was right after I got here. Maybe the first...
After you got
first
to Northway,
year,
like to
to Northway Christian Community, where I was before here when I got to Pittsburgh. Sorry, So like I think right at 9 years ago, the first 6 months or so that I was here. Yeah.
Did you train at all for
no,
it?
Dude. No, I said that in the sermon. Yeah,
you did.
I know a lot of people think that like I've like you know what's the word like exaggerate to make it more funny or whatever. That's not no. I was thinking I can do this and people kept saying moment of confession, can be honest on the podcast.
Yes,
be,
absolutely. Right?
So at the time, and this is not a confession, this is not a statement of like if this is right or wrong, maybe we could do another episode on this, but I was smoking cigars very heavily at that point. It became an addiction for me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so I had the joke that I was going to cross the finish line with a cigar. That's how cocky I was. And I had almost planned to have a guy have a cigar lit so I could get it off the side and like run and with the cigar in my mouth. I thought that would be funny. How pathetic is that? Thank God I'm healthier now and I'm not. So I have victory over that. But
praise
that's
Jesus.
How cocky I was. And man, when I say I couldn't move here. All right. So here's the fun part. So that night we had to do, because of the marathon, we were never at Northway able to do our morning services in the city locations.
Well, this is the Pittsburgh Marathon.
Yes.
And the city just shuts down.
Yeah. So it was in the city location. So at the time, the Oakland campus, my campus, East Liberty campus, we would do an evening joint service on that Sunday. And then the campus pastor and I would shift up preaching because we had to go live.
Yeah.
And he's like, man, this is the first one. You're here. You preach. I want you to preach. I'm like, absolutely, dude. That'd be so fun. I joined her. And to get people there because attendance was down. Do we have time for this? Am I okay to keep going?
Go.
This is good. You're going to love this. And so, like, you know, it wasn't super well attended because it's evening and it's totally out of the rhythm of what we normally do. It's a joint thing. People, you know, it's just odd. And a lot of people were involved in the marathon.
Yeah.
So to do something, we did hot hamburgers, hot dogs in the parking lot afterwards. And then let's do some games where, like, the campuses compete. And then the idea was thrown out in staff meetings months before. Oh, let's get our big inflatable jump house thing, like the obstacle course jump house.
Yeah,
it's like 60 feet long, right?
Yep.
And we had one at the church. Like, let's get that and we'll... And the campus pastors can race. And it'll be like, yay, everybody gets signs. Yeah. So I agreed to all this. And I do this marathon, and then I had to get up like 3 or 4 hours later and head into the campus and preach that night
and then do this thing
afterwards. Man, I thought I was going to die. I legit, like, I have trauma about it.
Did you preach from a stool?
Bro,
did you have a walker?
Sorry, my allergies are bothering me. I just stayed right behind the pulpit. I could barely stand up. shaking my legs. And then we did the obstacle course thing, and it was a train wreck. I'll never forget
it. Just crawled.
Dennis Allen was the campus pastor in Oakland at the time, and he's now at a church in the north side.
Is it safe to say he won that race?
Actually, no. There's another story behind that I will not talk about. Someone hid. A dear friend of mine who will remain nameless hid in Dennis's side. There's a tunnel that you had to go through towards the end. And he snuck during the service, hid in the tunnel. And so Dennis just blows me away. But I just kind of climbed over. And then the next thing I hear is screaming and yelling where he held Dennis in the tunnel where nobody could see. And I won.
I'm just picturing this grown man just curled up in an inflatable tunnel yelling. For an hour.
I think we can cut this out if I need to, right, Rachel? I think this is okay to say. So he's a country boy too.
Yeah.
This gentleman who will remain unnamed to this day. And all I heard as I hear the screaming and yelling is, "Rednecks stick together! Rednecks stick together!" And I won.
And you won. If you can call it winning.
My life motto is if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying, baby.
That's the worst possible segue into our sermon content. Right. But
well, we're going to go. Asked. I didn't get to do all that with the sermon. So.
Oh, my gosh. That's fantastic. Okay.
Wonderful. Rachel will cut that part out if we need to. She's back there grinning.
No, she won't.
So she can
I'm not going to let her cut it. Okay. But, Pastor, you jumped headlong in. You know, we've been saying this has been a heavy series. Mm-hmm. But you brought it, and I felt like you landed it at this place of hope. Really, you really did.
Yeah, trying really hard.
But you need that hope to survive it. You really do. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, with the key text, Romans 8, you know, you jumped around in that passage to bring us to this conclusion. But where you started, you didn't camp out on this too long. But in Romans 8, when Paul talks about the sufferings of this present time.
Right.
So we'd be foolish not to consider the context of Scripture. So the context of Paul saying the suffering at this present time is one thing. What do you see? Because I think oftentimes in modern day church, we just assume suffering means persecuted mm-hmm. for the faith. What would you categorize the suffering of our present time?
Yeah, that's a really important an important question, because you're right. You know, we do tend to narrow like sufferings to just persecution, and absolutely that is right. But Paul is talking about the whole, what he calls the groanings of creation here, the brokenness of the fall of mankind. So what are the sufferings of our time, right? I would say, and I've mentioned this throughout the series specifically to pornography, I would say loneliness is a big one, man. You know this. We deal with this so much as pastors with people. We're more connected digitally than ever, but people are isolated and just starving for real intimacy. And into that void, sexual sin rushes in. And it becomes a cheap substitute, you know, to fill it. That breaks my heart. Confusion, I think, is another place of, in our time, of suffering, especially around the identity and sexuality piece. Like our culture is telling people, you create your own truth. You know, it just breaks my heart every time I hear that. But that's not freedom. It sounds like freedom, but that's what Satan does so well. That sounds so good. Right? Like, let's just be honest. Like, that sounds so good, but that's not freedom. That's chaos, friends. Finding your own truth is not a thing, and people are suffering under the weight of trying to be their own God. And then there's shame. Again, we've talked about this throughout the series, the suffering of carrying secrets, of living with regret, of believing the lie that you're too far gone from God's redemption. That's real suffering, and it's crushing people in our pews. We don't have pews here any longer, but in our pews. But that's the beauty of Romans 8, right? That's why we sort of ended here. We could have ended a lot of places, but I think Romans is one of the most theologically rich texts in all the Bible. And Paul doesn't minimize that suffering by any stretch of the imagination. He acknowledges it.
Yeah.
And then he says, you know, it's not worth comparing what's coming. and there's that mm-hmm. hope. It's not worth comparing to where we're headed and what we have as Christ followers. It doesn't erase the pain, Brandon. Mm-hmm. You and I both know this, but it does give us that horizon that we get a chance to look forward to. So I think the last thing on this that I would like to say, and again, this kind of take on a feel of like closing, you know, sort of closing thoughts by a pastor to his church on this topic in this series, but it's community, man. If I could give a solution to this, it's community. We're surrounded where we are reminded. We pray for one another. We pray for ourselves. That's why the church exists. Mm. We're not meant to like white knuckle our way through suffering.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I want to keep this in light of the sermon. You know, I guess you could say upward trajectory, very hope focused, mm-hmm. like you said, but you have to acknowledge where you're starting. And I think so often we narrow the strategies of the enemy, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of ways to isolate a believer.
Yeah.
It doesn't just have to be with shame and guilt. It can be with lies. It can be with honey and not the stick, you know, and I think we miss out on that piece. But like you said, in that struggle, there is hope. And it's for a future. And you use this line that really stuck out at me, which was a certainty not yet realized. Hmm. What really jumped out at me, and you shared this in a previous sermon, and not necessarily to go back and retell the whole story,
okay.
just because we don't have time, but as much as you want to share, but you described a season where you were standing in one of your old churches in a really just difficult, dark part of your life, and you kind of, I don't want to say bargained, but just in frustration with God. If I'm going down, I'm going down with you. That was the line.
Yeah.
I remember you saying, if I'm going down, I'm going down with you.
With you, man.
What was the role? Like, that's a suffering moment for you. Mm-hmm. Where was hope in that?
Yeah, you're talking about a time in my life that was about 11 years ago where I felt like life was just falling apart. Mm-hmm. And if I'm honest, it was. Ministry was super hard. And finances were really tight, and a lot of that was my mistakes and my fault. And relationships in my life with my marriage was on the brink, and I honestly wasn't sure if I was going to make it. I said no, financially, emotionally, spiritually. I just remember standing in the worship center of the church that I was pastoring at the time. Again, like not to rehash this, go back and watch the other sermon. I have no idea what it was.
We can reference it in the show notes.
In the show notes. Are we doing show notes yet?
We are.
Are we?
Yes. We started sticking in show notes.
I mentioned that. Look how impressive we're
learning,
we are, man.
We're learning.
We have a podcast with show notes?
All right.
Rachel is crushing that.
She
That's
is.
So amazing.
She is.
We should get a camera angle of Rachel sometime back there. So the people need to know what happens. Carlos is usually on sound back there laughing at everything we do. And then it's Maddie true. Is our creative director. Nobody knows what Maddie does.
I don't know what she's thinking.
I don't know. Yeah, she just stands there, and Rachel does all the work.
I wonder if in the YouTube we could just pop up like half the screen. It's just a still shot of Rachel and then of Carlos.
Is Rachel our producer? Is that what she gives?
Yeah, she is.
She gave us thumbs up. We have a producer.
We have a producer. Wow, this feels fancy.
We go back and watch that sermon. It'll be great. We'll put it in the show notes. I remember standing in the worship center of that church, though, and I was pastoring. I was just ready to quit, and I was ready to quit life, man. Mm. Like, I've tried to be honest about it, but I just came back to faith. Not that I, lost my salvation. I mean, I came back to my faith in Christ. I decided I was going to rely on God and nothing else. It was as simple as that. Mm. And hope in that moment, honestly, here's the thing. Hope in that moment wasn't some bright, shiny thing that made me feel really good. It was more like a stubborn obedience, you know, where I was like, I said what you just referenced, man. If I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down with you. It was just choosing to believe God was still good when I couldn't see it. Mm. And when I felt like, man, you've let me down, and I was blaming him for everything. It was clinging to promises that I had preached, but I couldn't feel in the moment. And that's what I want people to hear today. And that's what I want people to hear every time we preach and teach and as a church, and but especially with this series, that hope doesn't always feel hopeful, you know? But sometimes it's just the decision to take the next right step.
Yep.
Just show up tomorrow. Mm. Just don't. There's a young man who is attending here, and he is in recovery from an addiction, and he's coming to our R&R ministry, our Revive and Restore ministry. If you have addiction issues and you're struggling, get involved in our Revive and Restore. You can find it online, Happening Now tab. It's everywhere. It's an amazing ministry. Mm-hmm. Lives are being changed. You're not out there alone. And one of the things, he comes up to me almost every weekend, and it's like he adds 7 days to his sobriety. He'll say, Pastor Paul, I'm 47. Hey, Pastor Paul, I'm 63. And the same thing I say to him every day, just keep stacking days, man. Just keep stacking the days. Just keep showing up every day. Don't quit. That's hope. That is certainty not yet realized. Mm. It's still certainty, though. And when we do that, Christ will bring people into our lives. Again, that's the church. Over time, I, in that moment, was able to see the provision that did show up. And it showed up at exactly the right time when I needed it. The growth that came through the fire. I think I would say about this too, the last thing I would say is I wouldn't want to go through it again.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm not that guy that would say, oh, I want to go through it again. But I also wouldn't trade anything for what I learned and the depth of the relationship. That was the sweetest. You ever experienced that? Like, that was the sweetest time with God.
Yeah.
When I look back, I long for the sweetness of that time. I don't long for the trial. Mm-hmm. I think people will find that it's the sweetest moment is when you're going through the hardest times in faith. So.
I don't want to say who it is, but you'll know who I'm talking about, because we had a staff member, dear staff member. I mean, they're on staff. Okay. And I'm sure they would be happy to share this, but I just don't have their permission, so I'm not going to say who it is.
Yeah.
But walk through a horrendous season, but then has shared in one of our staff rooted groups. She misses the closeness of God in that, from that hard season.
That's it.
Of like, I don't miss the season, but man, have I never felt the Lord closer.
That's it.
But I love what you said. Hope isn't always hopeful. Because for me personally, I always get hope. Hope has a tendency to be confused as if it's an emotion we have to kind of manifest within ourselves.
Yep.
Rather than like you said, hope in that season, it was more so a stubborn obedience. Yeah. And that's why I like that phrase.
It's not feelings. Yes. I think that's what you're referencing. You know, that's the line, right? Yes. Hope isn't always hopeful. Wait, what are you talking about? Well, it's metaphorical. It's like hope isn't always the feeling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel absolutely. Like something's going to happen.
Absolutely. But in those seasons, kind of those in-between moments where you don't feel the closeness or whatever it might be, you know, a big piece to running this race that you were emphasizing in this sermon was that necessity to lean on the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But when we feel completely unequipped, and maybe we went into a romantic relationship or a marriage thinking, I know how to do this.
Right.
You feel completely unequipped. How do you lean on the Holy Spirit?
Yeah, that's where it gets practical, right?
Yeah.
Because lean on the Spirit can sound really spiritual and really vague at the same time, and we don't ever give the practical handles. Here's what it looks like for me, if this is helpful to folks. When I feel that pull towards sin, whether it is sexual temptations or whether it's anger or pride or jealousy, there's a moment where I have to make a choice. This is what I alluded to earlier, back to the hope, you know, peace. I have to make a choice. And in that moment, for me to make the choice, I will oftentimes pray. Sometimes it's just help me out of this. Give me strength. Sometimes it's one word. Oh, Lord, help. Right. Because I don't know what the answer is. I just know this isn't right. And I don't want to walk down this road. And I find that just inviting him into the struggle makes all the difference in the world. Training myself to bring God into the battle when I am triggered. That's the sin. For me, I have found, Brandon, I wonder if you identify with this, is 90% of the battle. Just bringing him into the conversation. If I can get to a place where when the temptation and the pull towards the sin begins to trigger and happen, if in that moment I can invite him in, 90% of the battle's won for me. So at least the way I found it. Other times, it's asking the Spirit to remind me of truth. So what is true right now? Yeah. What am I believing that is a lie that's pushing me towards this sin? And this tactic, I'll be honest, is usually used when I'm able to process. Okay, so this isn't the, because somebody out there listening right now is going, yeah, right. When I'm faced with this habitual sin or this temptation, I'm not going, now, why am I triggered? No, this is the process where I'm not faced with an immediate temptation to sin. Or right now, perhaps wherever you're listening, to hit pause and go, okay, I'm always struggling, you know, with pornography, and I can't seem to give in. Right now, I'm like the Apostle Paul. Right now, I don't want to do it. But then when I'm in the middle, I don't have victory over. So now is the moment to process, what am I believing that's a lie?
I've said this before, you have to make use of your seasons of quote-unquote health.
There you go.
Rather than just like, oh, I'm good right now, I'm not going to do anything with that. No, no, let me, I'm not in a innocent, in a temptation in this moment. Let me actually do some self-assessment. Yep. And like, while I can think clearly on this.
Redeem that time. It's when I'm feeling anxious, fearful about something, sometimes that I can pause and try to process that fight. Why why am I feeling anxious about going into this meeting? Why did I just get this triggering response of like fear when I got this text message from this certain individual? Or process those things. And sometimes leaning on the Spirit means doing the thing that He already told me to do. So call a friend. Get out of the situation. Confess something to my spouse. Delete the app, right?
Yeah.
What is the thing that I know I need to do right now? The Spirit doesn't usually give us new revelation. I know that's a controversial, perhaps, thing to say in church. I don't think He normally gives us new revelation. So you're like, well, what does He do? Well, He empowers us to obey what we already know. And I'll say a lot of times from the platform, like, stop praying about stuff, Christians. And that sounds so unbiblical. Again, it's my favorite line, don't hear what I'm not saying. And I don't want this to be a rabbit chase right now, but I do believe it's part of the conversation. Like, if He's convicted, let me go back to the app thing, because that's a real simple one. If I'm convicted every time I'm on Instagram because every third video is something I know I shouldn't be looking at.
Yeah.
Delete the app.
Yeah.
Stop praying and praying for help. Delete the app.
The Spirit's in you. You're getting that nudge.
You're getting it. Do what you have to do. The Holy Spirit is unseen, but He is God. But His work in us is deeply practical, I believe. And He's not going to possess you and make you sin proof. That's not the way the Holy Spirit works. He's going to whisper to you and He's going to say, you know what to do. Let me help you do it. And so, and then lastly, I would say, because I know we're camping out here, I'm trying to watch our time, but lastly, I'd say, like, you cannot devalue the importance of the Bible in preparing for the fight.
Yeah.
You have to be in His Word multiple times a week. If you didn't catch the very first podcast we did on exposing your soul to the Word, we talked about that study. And I'm just a firm believer. Be in it every day, but try to be in it at least four times a week.
Four more. Yeah, I mean, even when Jesus was saying to His disciples, like, hey, I have to go, but I'm going to send you a helper. And His primary role is to affirm the truth that I've given you.
He's already spoken.
I don't have to give you new truth. I need you to just pay attention to what has already been said.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, man, I love that. Hi, Pastor. I wanted to set aside some time here because I know you love to preach, but I also, if you pay attention, you'll see this at certain times in His sermons, is there's moments where I feel this tension you wish you could stop preaching for a minute and just like, I want to sit in this with my flock. And you don't get the opportunity to do that too often. This is a random, tangent. It's just one of the cons of sometimes I think of being a large church with multiple services is sometimes you're ruled by the clock. Not void of the Spirit, but you know.
You're right.
But I guess just the next couple minutes, where were the moments in this series or just, hey, I really wish I could have shepherded here more rather than just preached? For the people going through this series who just, because of their own shame, just have felt beat up the last few weeks.
Yeah, it's a heavy series.
Or because of being a victim of sexual sin, just felt so much disgust over the last week. So I want to give you an opportunity not to preach, but just to feel it and shepherd it.
Thank you for that. And that's super encouraging. Thanks for saying that, man. And I see the same in you. I think I would just linger at where we ended. And it's in Romans 8, specifically 28. If you're sitting here today and you're listening to this, whether from, and you're in pain and you're carrying shame and you're struggling, whether from your own sin or whether from what someone has done to you, I want you to hear this, that God does not waste your pain. I know I said a version of that in the sermon this weekend, but God doesn't allow your pain to be wasted. Romans 8:28 doesn't mean that everything that happens is good to you. And it doesn't mean that he caused that in your life. Sexual abuse is not good. Addiction is not good. Betrayal is not good. God does not cause those things. And he doesn't call them good. Okay. But what he does, and this is the miracle, he takes the broken pieces and he turns them into something beautifully redemptive. And he doesn't leave you in the ashes of the fire. He brings beauty from them. And so if you've sinned sexually, I want you to know there is forgiveness. Full stop. He forgives you. Jesus didn't die for easy sins. He died for all of them. And you've confessed and repented. If you have confessed and repented, you are forgiven. And the shame that you're carrying, that is not from God. You know, that's not from God. That's the enemy trying to keep you in shame because he's already lost you for eternity if you're a Christ follower. And so he wants to keep you bound up in chains. And if you are a victim, if someone sinned against you, if someone stole something from you, especially sexually, I just want you to know I am so sorry. And it's not okay. And my heart breaks for you. That should have never happened. And I'm sorry that someone wasn't there to protect you. But I want you to know that you're not damaged goods. You know, you're not defined by what's been done to you. I want you to know that God sees you. You're not forgotten. You're not lost in that. God sees you. He loves you. And he is in the business of restoration. Don't let your past, whether your sin or whether it is somebody else's, keep you from the future that God has for you, because he does have a beautifully bright future for you. And I think the last thing I would say to those folks that are listening is that if you're in the thick of shame, tell somebody. Shame dies in the light. And find a trusted friend, a pastor, a counselor. Bring it into the open because you don't have to carry these things alone. That also is a lie of the enemy.
Yeah, I think, like I said before, I think just the nature of being in a large church, and there are certain things that just, I think that's a frustration you and I share of like, man, I wish I could preach it this way. But without being able to give it the appropriate context, you're like, I don't know how it's going to be received. So, no, I'm glad you're able to speak into that. I think another piece to all this, in a great way, in a hopeful way, is I think we've seen a lot of people experience some freedom and some victory through this series.
I think so.
I know so. I know we've had people share and come and speak things to you and we've gotten some counseling applications because of it. So it's been an awesome thing. But I always think our battle with sin, I always think of boxing matches. You know, there's rounds. And actually with a buddy who has helped me train for running, he said, hey, it never gets easy, but it gets easier. Like, it never gets easy to battle your sin, but the more you get used to wrestling with it, it gets easier.
That's good.
What would be your encouragement? Say you heard that, we both heard this phrase, you're either going out of a trial, coming into one, or you're in one. But for those who, because of this series, they came out of some sexual sins, they feel like they've experienced some freedom, but the temptation might rear its ugly head in a week or in a month. How can we be preparing for the next round? The next time this pops up, the next time it comes out to get us, how can we be preparing?
Boxing analogy, man, I like it. Do you ever box?
I did martial arts for a while.
But did you really?
I did.
Impressive.
I don't know if I call it impressive, but yeah, I did it.
So, all right, so you're in between rounds.
Yeah.
I'm talking about boxing. I'm gonna try to stay with you. All right, then I'm gonna do this. Bell's about to ring. You're about to go back out there. We've seen it in the movies. I've never boxed. I've seen Rocky once, but that's about it. And so before you go out, Mick and Rocky is over in the corner. What's he telling you, right? So I think first, expect the fight.
Ooh.
You know, like, don't be surprised when temptation shows up again.
Yeah.
Even if you've had victory for a long time over this particular thing, it'll catch you off guard. That doesn't mean you failed or that this series didn't work or the principles aren't working.
Yep. Yep.
It means you're human.
Mm-hmm.
It means we have a real enemy. I think the second thing I would tell Rocky as I play Mick heading back out is have a plan. And so I won't belabor this. We've already been here. When, not if, but when you're tempted, what are you going to do? Who are you going to call? What scripture are you going to pray? What physical steps are you going to take? Write it down. Practice it. Like prepare. I've alluded to this, but let me just say it really just bluntly. Fight within community. So go get your buddies and go get your girlfriends, your friends. Get in there. This is not a solo sport. You know, you need people who know your struggle, who are going to check in on you.
You look at a boxing match, fighter's got a full team.
Exactly. And in our boxing round, we actually get to bring them into the ring with us.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
That's where the analogy breaks down. But I literally got a text today. It wasn't about any sort of sin or anything I'm struggling with, but a text from a good friend who may or may not have been the one that hid in the, now that I think about it, who hid in the tunnel.
Can we get him on the podcast in the future?
He may or may not exist, but I did get a text, and it was just it literally said, I can't believe I just thought of this, and just said, you're enough, you're equipped for everything. It was just encouragement just to send into my life. So isolation is where you get picked off, so you can't be in isolation. Celebrate progress, I think, not perfection.
Yeah.
If you used to fail every day and now you're only failing once a week, like, that's progress.
Yeah.
We want to see you in full victory because that's possible, but don't despise small victories because God doesn't, you know? And so, and then remember, this is the whole point of the sermon from this weekend. Remember, there's a finish line. So the fight is temporary. Jesus has already won the war. You're not fighting for victory. You're fighting from victory. We talked about this at the end of week three, that you're fighting within the victory of Christ. That changes everything. And I would say to you, welcome to sanctification. You know, none of us have arrived on this side of heaven, but every time you get back up, you're growing. And it makes it, like you said, your friend, your mentor told you that it's making an impact. It is changing every single time. It'll get easier. So every time you confess, every time you repent, you're being transformed. Don't quit. The finish line is sure. We use that line in the sermon. So,
yeah. Well, hey, Pastor, this was a really awesome series. And I know we're both excited about our next one we're jumping into.
It's going to be good.
Show and Tell, our All Church series. You can just search Life with Cornerstone on any podcasting platform, and you'll find a 30-day devotional. That'll kick off on Monday, right after this coming weekend.
Yeah.
So that'll be awesome.
And there's digital. You can get it digital.
Digital
there's
download.
Videos.
You can purchase an imprint. Version.
Nice.
And then we're going to have an audio version of the daily devotionals, a weekly family devotion to listen to as a family. Pastor Joel and Miss Jenny are going to be bringing that for us. So it's going to be awesome.
Sermon series we've been writing. You don't want to miss this one.
Oh, yeah.
Really, really good. We've pretty well nailed that. Yeah.
And
Brandon and I are preaching week one and week two. I've got week one. You've got week two. Hadn't seen Brandon in a while up there. So we're going to dust him off and get him back up there. And I love our, the intros and the sermon illustrations matter. They're not the word, but like, I'm also really excited about the opening intros that we have. I think they're really going
to
capture you. They're
fun. Be a little kid.
This is fun, you know, and we get to show and tell.
Yeah.
But this is a good, it's a good series. It's meat, but it's also going to be fun. Realizing we just came through a pretty dramatic and heavy series. So this 7 weeks is going to be a blast.
Well, it's going to challenge you too.
Mm-hmm.
We want you to get out.
Yep.
There's a reason it's called Show and Tell.
That's right.
Well, hey, since we're going into this new series, last kind of After the Amen follow-up from this series? Mm-hmm. Any just overview, any closing thoughts, yeah. closing remarks, anything you thought, man, I wish I hit this on week mm-hmm. one or yeah. what?
Yeah, actually, you told me you might ask this one. And so I wrote a few things down. So first, I just think, know that this isn't just about sexual sin. So yeah. the principles we've talked about, the principles in Romans 8, for example, God's presence, his purpose, his unbreakable love, they apply to every area of brokenness and sin. So if you're battling anxiety or you're battling addiction or relational conflict, whatever it is, this series, the principle of the series, this particular passage is for you too. Secondly, I would say if you're a parent, keep having these conversations.
Yes.
Don't let this series be a one-time thing. Our kids, we're both dads and trying to make it through. Our kids are swimming in a culture that is aggressively preaching a countercultural gospel on sex. And so Ooh. We need to be consistent and grace-filled, and we need to be the voice of truth because nobody else is going to be. Next thing I would Come say, I'm trying to hurry because I know we're out of time, but just the last thing I would say and the last two things is for those of you who did find a freedom or found your way towards freedom in this series, praise God, but don't coast. Like, Come stay on. Vigilant, stay connected, not fearful. That's not what I'm saying, but stay connected, keep pursuing holiness. And then the last thing I would say as we sort of wrap all of this up is just thank you for engaging. Thank you for being honest. Thank you for keep coming. Thank you for hard truths. Our numbers, quote unquote, and we track them for a reason, didn't go down in this series. I thought they might, that people might tune out after week one. That's what discipleship looks like. And I'm proud to be your pastor.
Mm. Well, this has been, I think it's funny, when we first talked about doing this, we said like, oh, this will kind of, this first sex series will be a good like beta test. And like, I'm hooked.
Yeah.
Like and we've loved being able to do this. We're excited to see what the Lord continues to do with it. So keep, like, we appreciate so much every time you stop and say, hey, I really enjoy the podcast, this it's and that.
Helpful.
Not to build ourselves up, but to know, hey, we're getting some things right. Let's keep working on this, keep fine tuning it. Because at the end of the day, we are just trying our darndest to help all of us, ourselves That's included, right. walk with the Lord every single day.
That's it.
And I'm going to steal your line because we're just a couple of beggars trying to help other people get some bread.
That's it.
That's all we can do. Well, hey, church, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time if we don't see you sooner.
Thanks for joining us at the Cornerstone Ministries Sermon Podcast. If you have questions about Cornerstone, your faith journey, or you need prayer, please visit lifewithcornerstone.com to get connected.